One of the very shocking things to me about the gospel is how many times Jesus told people to be quiet. He would heal them, and then he would say something like, "Don't tell anybody." In Mark chapter 1 and verse 44, he tells the leper, "See that you say nothing to anyone." Mark chapter 5, after Jairus' daughter is raised from the dead, in Mark chapter 5 and verse 43, he strictly charged them that no one should know this. Told them to give her something to eat. In Mark chapter 7 and verse 36, Jesus charged them to tell no one. But notice there it says, but the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. I mean, think about it. If you had been healed from leprosy, if your daughter had been raised from the dead, if you had been deaf for your entire life and now you could hear, would you be able to keep that to yourself? Now, I am not wise enough or intelligent enough to be able to know whether or not these men or women were sinning when they did this. I'm not even going to try to get into that discussion. All I know is that I can understand. Even though Jesus said to them, be quiet, I can understand why this news that they had, they wanted to give to everyone who could listen. After all, that's what happens when you're cleansed. Here in Mark chapter 1, verse 40 through 45, we hear the story of a leper, and I want to hone in on this one in particular this morning. A man who had been a leper. He had some kind of skin disease. Leprosy has come to mean a particular kind of skin disease today, but in the Bible times, my understanding is it was kind of a catch-all phrase, a catch-all name for any kind of skin disease that they had. But here was a man who was a leper. With all the negative things that went along with being that kind of person in society. And let's just hear the story as Mark tells it in Mark chapter 1, beginning at verse 40. And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling said to him, if you will, you can make me clean. Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I will be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them. But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. This is the message of being cleansed. This is what happens when people are cleansed. You can tell them, keep it quiet, but they can't help but share the news. I'd like for us to spend just a few moments this morning thinking of some very simple things from this account in Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 45. Some things that I hope will help us as we're talking about not a physical cleansing, but a spiritual cleansing. Before we look at that, would you bow with me in prayer, please? Almighty God and Father in heaven, we lift you up and we honor you. And we're thankful because you have cleansed us. We're thankful that you have taken away our sins. You have taken away our rottenness. You've purified us. And you have allowed your Son to dwell within us and your Holy Spirit, and that we might be filled with all your fullness. Father, we pray that you would strengthen us this morning to gain courage and confidence because of the cleansing that you have offered. And if there's anyone here today that has not been cleansed by the blood of your Son, I pray that their hearts and minds will be open to this message from this leper, that they can find the joy that comes from being in your Son, that we can help them and bring them into a relationship with you. Father, we pray that what we do here today brings you honor and glory, that it lifts you up, that it shines your message, that it's talking freely about what you have done for us. We are so thankful. Father, we love you so much. And we thank you for loving us first. Through your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. When we consider the story in Mark chapter 1, the very first lesson that I hope we can grasp, the number one key that we need to see from this is the fact is that Jesus wants to cleanse us. Jesus wants to cleanse people. I want us to think for just a moment here in context of this leper. What must his life have been like? In Leviticus chapter 13, we learn what it was like to be a leper. In Leviticus chapter 13 and verse 3, it talks about the priest examining the diseased area on the skin of his body, and it tells us some of the signs he was supposed to look for, but the very last sentence in Leviticus chapter 13 and verse 3 was this: when the priest has examined him, he shall pronounce him unclean. Just think for a moment the sentence that has been placed upon someone when they have been pronounced unclean. Can you imagine coming into the presence of the religious leader and he takes a look at some scab or sore, and when he's done, he steps back and he pronounces for everyone there unclean. Would you like to be that person? If we look later on in the chapter, we learn what this means for him in a very practical way. In chapter 13 of Leviticus and verse 45, the leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes. This is verse 45. He shall wear torn clothes. Let the hair of his head hang loose. He shall cover his upper lip and cry out, "Unclean! Unclean!" He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. When that priest pronounces the word unclean, it's not like when we go to the doctor and he says, here's some antibiotics, take some ointment, go on home, put a patch over that, you'll be good by next week. No, this is a sentence of separation, a sentence of isolation, a sentence of difference, a sentence of distinction. It's a sentence that says, everywhere I go, everyone will look at me and know I am unclean. And if they don't know, I have to tell them. I cover my mouth and I say, unclean, unclean. Why on earth would I have to do that? Because I want to warn everyone else. If they happen to come too close and they touch me, what will they become? Unclean. I have to leave my home, my friends, and I have to go live alone outside the camp with who? All the other unclean people. The Pharisees developed rituals because of people like me. They would make sure to wash their hands after they left the marketplace because for all they knew, someone like me walked through the marketplace and happened to touch the same thing that they happened to touch, and they wanted to make sure not to allow that uncleanness to get inside them. That's what this person had been like for however long he had had this disease of leprosy. And can you imagine in Mark chapter 1 as he comes to Jesus, the stories that he has heard about this man, the good news that he's heard about this man, the peace, the compassion, the power that he has heard about this man. And so it says in Mark 1 and verse 40 that a leper came to him imploring him. This is not a casual question. This is not a simple statement. Imploring, begging, he's kneeling before him. Please, if you will, you can make me clean. If you want to, you can make me clean. He is begging. I want you to hear the desperation in his voice. I don't know how long he had been in this state. Perhaps it was new and he was looking into the dark future. Or perhaps it had been some time and he was remembering a dark past. But this is a desperate cry. Please take this sentence off of me. This sentence of separation. Never enjoying the embrace of a friend. A simple hug. The caress of a spouse. Having people part because I'm walking through. Take it away. If you will, you can take it away. If you will, you can make me clean. And how might you expect a religious leader to respond? Someone whom the people have been looking up to, someone who is trying to get a message out and get followers. How might that kind of person respond? Did you notice what Jesus did? He didn't just say, I will be clean. Don't miss this. He touched him. How long it had been since someone had the courage and confidence and love and compassion to touch this man. And said, I will be clean. And here's what's most impressive about that. If you had been there and you had been the one that reached out and touched him, what would have happened? Would he have been cleansed? No, you would have been defiled. That is the amazing power and purity of our Savior. When he touched him, the man became clean. Jesus didn't tell him, I didn't come down here for people like you. Jesus didn't tell him, get away from me, I don't want to be defiled. Jesus didn't tell him, hey, you're supposed to be outside the city. Jesus touched him. Jesus wants to cleanse people. Jesus wants to cleanse us. Jesus wants to cleanse you. Which leads us to the next thing we need to understand that, and that is that Jesus doesn't just want to cleanse us, Jesus wants to cleanse us of sin. I understand that leprosy was a physical disease, and I understand that there was a ceremonial and ritualistic issue to this under the Old Covenant, but I am convinced that most, if not all, of the healing stories that we read about in the New Testament are to be to us pictures of salvation. They are to be to us pictures of the love and compassion of God as He has looked down upon us in our sins, in our spiritual leprosy, in our spiritually defiled state. These stories are supposed to be to us a reminder about what God has done and can do and will do for us. And so in Mark chapter 1, when this gospel of Jesus Christ begins and we hear about him being filled with the Holy Spirit and power and he goes about doing good deeds and healing those who are oppressed by the devil, what does he do? He finds defiled, unclean people who are begging and imploring him that nobody else wants anything to do with, that everybody else wants to stay outside the camp, and what he will do is he will reach out and touch them and he will cleanse them. I'm not a leper physically. I don't know what that's like to experience that. But I do know what it's like to experience spiritual leprosy. And while I have not had to walk around covering my face, tearing my clothes, and shouting out, unclean, unclean, I can guarantee you that I have spent many days thinking that I was carrying a neon sign above my head that pointed to me with the word sinner above it. that in some way I might say something or look in some way or have some kind of guilty look, that you looking at me would know exactly how awful and terrible I truly am and have been. Has anybody else ever felt that? Am I the only one? And the very sad and awful part of that is the fear. What if you did find out? What if you did learn? Would you run away, afraid that I might make you unclean? Would it be like the older brother of Luke 15? Father, don't you know what he's done with all of your blessings? But the amazing thing is that Jesus wants to cleanse people like me. And he wants to cleanse people like you. And we can turn to him and implore and cry, if you will, you can make me clean. And what he will do is he will reach out and touch us. And he will make us clean. Praise the Lord. And the big difference between us and this leper is that while he told the leper, don't tell anybody, he tells us to tell everyone. It's really kind of shocking. You know, I am shocked that he told the leper not to tell anyone, simply because I'm almost wondering, how did you expect him to abide by that? But I'm also almost shocked that he has to tell us over and over again, go tell everyone, because how can we not? When we have been through such an amazing experience, when the God of all the universe has looked down upon us and said, I'm taking it away, I'm forgiving you, I'm setting you free, I'm redeeming you, I'm growing you, how could we not be busy telling people about this? This is amazing. You know, he told the leper, he told Jairus and his wife, he told the deaf man, listen, don't tell anybody about this. And they couldn't help but telling everyone about this. He says to us, tell everyone about it. And if you're like me, too often we've kept it to ourselves. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, Jesus said to his apostles, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Go into the whole world. And yet sometimes I have trouble talking to the person who lives next door to me. In Acts chapter 8. This amazes me. In Acts chapter 8, these people are being run out of town. They're being run out of town because they've been preaching the word and abiding by it. But in verse 4 of Acts chapter 8, those who were scattered went about everywhere preaching the word. And yet all too often, I hang on to it. Oh, it's easy to do it here. I can do it here. I know you guys want to hear it. But my neighbor, my classmate, my coworker, I don't know about that so much. Let me ask you this. Have you ever thought about who the leper went and told first? I mean, there are a couple options there. The one that comes to my mind first is, if I had been a leper and I had been living outside the gates with this group of lepers and I had now been healed, you want to know who I'd want to let know about this? I got to go find that other leper. And I got to let them know, I have found the answer to your problem. His name is Jesus. And listen, not only will he clean you, you know what else he'll do? He will touch you. I think he might probably went to his family, ones he had been separated from, the friends from before his leprosy. I'm clean. I'm back. The same kind of folks we can tell about our cleansing. So what's it going to take? What's it going to take for us to be like this leper that we can't help but just get out there and tell people about this thing that has happened to us? There's basically two things here, and that is, if we can mourn our sins and rejoice over our cleansing, we'll just naturally tell others. What made the leper's cleansing so amazing was how awful it was to be a leper. I think the problem for me often is I forget how awful it is to be a sinner. I mean, our world is just filled with sin, and I spend most of my time trying to point out that I wasn't as bad a one as somebody next to me. But when you've lived with leprosy, calling yourself unclean, unclean, separated, isolated, that's a pretty awful place. So that when the cleansing happens, it's pretty amazing. Romans 3:23 tells us that all of us have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. And one of the things that points out is I need to quit spending my time comparing myself to the people around me and start spending my time comparing myself to God. Because when I recognize that what sin is falling short of God's glory, I can remember how truly awful I am. God, the perfectly pure and holy one, and I have fallen short of that, defiling him, defaming him with my sins. And that gets us to the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus begins with, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." The more time I spend trying to point out that I really wasn't all that bad, the less I can fulfill that passage, and the less blessed I'll be. When I can finally come face to face with how truly terrible sin is and what it did to me and my relationship with God, it's only then that I can really understand how truly amazing what Jesus did for me is. And so when I can mourn, as the next statement in the Sermon on the Mount says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." When I can learn to mourn my poverty of spirit and how awful I have been, taking down all the defenses, not trying to prove to anyone how it wasn't my fault and how it really wasn't that big of a deal and how I wasn't as bad as some other people, then I can really mourn and understand what it was like to be a leper like me. And then, when Jesus cleanses, then I can understand joy. When I recognize that when he said, "He that believes and is baptized will be saved," what he points out is that when we go down into that watery grave, we are dead in our sins. When we are raised, we are walking in new life. When I can recognize what he has done there, that is amazing. Can there be any greater joy than to know that what God has done is taken away the leprosy? No longer do I have to walk around with a neon sign above my head proclaiming what a sinner I am. I am a saint. I am redeemed. I am set apart in a good way. And that's because of what Jesus did. And when I understand that joy, when I am truly amazed, when I grasp how awesome it is that God has done that, that is when, like the leper, I will tell anyone and everyone. When I look at the lepers who are around me who are stuck in their leprosy, I want to tell them about the one who did this for me. I want to tell them about the one who can heal them. Oh, there may be some lepers who don't accept it. There may be some who think it's crazy. There may be some who even turn on me and get mad. But I want them to know. Talk about it freely. But I know what it is that hinders this in my life. And that is to truly recognize this joy of cleansing. I have to come face to face with how truly awful the leprosy was. I remember meeting a man who told me that he had adopted a Hindu faith. And I remember his words to me when he said, "I want to be a Christian. I kind of like Christianity, but I'm not good enough to be a Christian." And I wish I knew then what I knew now. Because if I ever get to meet that man or someone else who says that again, I know what needs to be said. I'm not good enough to not be a Christian. If I were good enough, I wouldn't need Jesus. If I were good enough, I wouldn't need cleansing. And what I need to do is quit trying to prove to everyone that I'm good enough and just come face to face with how truly awful I've been. Because then I can mourn. And then I can rejoice at the cleansing. But I don't want people to know. I don't want people to know what Jesus has cleansed me of. Because I don't know how they'll react. I don't know what they'll say. I don't know what they'll do. And so that joy gets contained. Because the only way you can understand my joy is if you can understand my leprosy. And so because of that, I have to break those rules of privacy. Because I want people to understand the joy. So I'm going to share with you my leprosy. Because I want you to understand what it is that causes me to get up here every week. It's not a paycheck. It's joy. I want everyone to know what I have known. And to experience the joy that I have experienced. I'll tell you what I'm about to share with you. There is no pleasure in this. There's no kind of cathartic cleanse. There's no kind of, I'm a worse sinner than you. I've seen people get into that sin competition. Have you seen that? As they start talking about how they used to live and there's almost this kind of smile on their face about the good old days. Have you ever seen that? I didn't have any good old days out in the world. And I'll also share with you that I'm like Paul in Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 3. Verse 12, when he said, "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own." What I'm about to share with you, there are some things that were problems before I became a Christian. There were some things that were problems after I became a Christian and I've dealt with. And there's some things that are still struggles that every day it's a fight and a battle. But I know this. Jesus has cleansed me and is cleansing me. And I also want to share for the young people who are here. My biggest fear in just sharing this with you is just the fact that I think there are some who will say, oh, good, I can have the best of both worlds. I can spend some time in sin and then I can go be a Christian. And it doesn't really work that way. Because I guarantee you either one of two things will happen. Either one, you'll spend some time in sin and you'll never repent and become a child of God. And you'll just be lost in a hell of separation from God. Or one day you'll truly understand who and what God is. And then you'll wish you had listened to me today when I said, don't go that way. Because listen, I can tell you, there have been moments of pleasure in my life when I pursued sin. Moments of pleasure that led to a lifetime of anguish and regret. Messed up relationships and problems. I said it a couple weeks ago and I'll say it again. There's not one single solitary sin that I've ever committed that after it was over and the smoke cleared and the dust settled, I said, you know what? I am really glad I did that. Not one. But I'm grateful for cleansing. I'll share with you. Jesus has forgiven me and cleansed me from the spiritual leprosy. And I had to write all this down so I could remember all of it. It's pretty bad. Lying. Disobedience to my parents. Rebellion against my parents. Striking my father. Unkindness to my brothers. Arrogance. Pride. Covetousness. Breaking and entering. Drinking alcohol. Stealing, lust, use of pornography, sexual immorality, hatred, slander, gossip, gluttony, materialism, greed, lack of discipline and self-control, cussing, telling dirty jokes, listening to dirty jokes, laughing at dirty jokes, not standing up for the gospel truth, selfishness, self-centeredness, outbursts of anger, verbally mistreating my wife and children, not seeking my wife's needs and desires, holding grudges, bitterness, resentment, strife, dissension, divisiveness among brethren, malice, boastfulness, self-indulgence, laziness, providing for the lusts of the flesh, jealousy, envy, impurity, sensuality, gambling, being quarrelsome, being a lover of self, being a lover of money, being a lover of pleasure, despising authority, being willful, stubbornness, blasphemy, forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, being entangled again in the world after having come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, trampling underfoot the Son of God and profaning the blood of His covenant. That's my leprosy. And there's no joy in any of that. But I tell you where there is joy. Because that is what Jesus has done with all of that. And I'm not perfect. And there are still those things that cause temptation. But I know this. Jesus is willing. And He cleanses. And that, brothers and sisters, is true joy. You think seeing your Super Bowl team win is joy? True joy is knowing that your sins are wiped away. And that is what Jesus does. Have you been cleansed? Will you pull out your songbooks, please? If you're going to be using those. Song number 420. Number 420. Cleanse Me. This is actually one of my all-time favorite songs. I don't really have anything to add here in this part of the invitation, so I'm just going to say to you, if you need to be cleansed, Jesus is ready and He's willing. We can help you with that. Won't you come forward right now as we stand and sing?